Thank you. So, I wish all of you a wonderful last session, so to say. This will be my last address or class during this festival. I have obviously thought what I could share with you this morning, and I was not, knowing really what I would talk about. And all the other lectures I had carefully prepared, but this one I left to see how I could respond to the spiritual subjects which came up during the festival. So in order to respond, I first want to summarize what my messages to all of you were, and also what I noticed during the festival. In the disciple meeting, I really was thinking or hoping to invite you to look at your spiritual life from a new perspective. A month before, no, No, actually, when I returned from Vrindavan, this idea came to me. In Vrindavan, I'm always thinking about the ultimate things, the final, let me say, the ultimate things in my life, the relationship to Radha and Krishna, really. So, but I quickly noticed when I came back to the West, I became caught up with different, things I needed to respond to. For instance, I visited my parents one day after I returned for our annual meeting during Christmas, and they're now very old, and there is an elephant in the room all the time. It's something which no one wants to really confront, but it is there, the question of death and who will go before the other and what is my duty towards them. They have some expectations, of course, in their son, whom they think is a... My mother always tells the priests, my son is a saint. and they have some expectations that I should help them in a spiritual way to leave their body and continue on. They both believe in the eternality of the soul and its ultimate fulfillment when it is in its relationship with God. Yes, so I had to think about this and think, oh wow, yeah, I got this precious human form of life and a lot of support from their side. So I owe them a debt of gratitude and thought of different arrangements and so on. Then the next program was, I think, in the Dharma Castle, and then quickly I came for the Sangha Mela here, and I became overwhelmed with my duties as a preacher, to give tips, to give inspirations, to sometimes give corrections. And this went on in a steady flow of seva, and quickly I began to notice, although this is maybe a little, you won't be able to really empathize with me, but I noticed my consciousness in Vrindavan, which was totally fixed on the holy name, and I was totally thinking of Radha and Krishna, service to Radha and Krishna, became totally directed on the preaching mission, which is not bad, it's good things which I do, but I noticed my heart began to feel a certain emptiness, the emptiness which happens when the vacuum in the heart is not filled with Radha and Krishna. I think you remember, I always like to say there is a God-shaped vacuum. How do you say this vacuum in English?
Vacuum.
Vacuum. So it's a similar. There's a God-shaped vacuum in our heart, which can only be filled if you put that person with the flute and next to him the person with a, you know, sandika. If you put that in the heart, not theoretically, but you put it, you have to lovingly think about them. Now, fortunately for us in Gauravaban, we have Radha Kanaya Lal, the most beautiful. Oh, I can't say this before Radha Madama. You know what I mean. So fortunately they are there, and they are very much present. They are very amazing deities. I can say confidently, someone who has not established his relationship to Radha Kanaya Lal will lack something in his life. So, yes. So, fortunately, they are there. But still, it's not easy to be a preacher. And it's not easy to to connect with so many people who are living a different life and to be helpful for them. It really requires concentration, and it really requires that you have to prepare your lectures. And you want to talk about one thing, but you know your audience needs another thing, and etc. And then I said, enough is enough. I will stay. I will try to not be a holiday Hare Krishna who just goes on the Kartik Vrata and stays with Radha and Krishna. I must be. My heart must be full with Radha Krishna also in the West. I decided this. I must do this. And then something else happened to me. I said, how will it be for my disciples? They are younger in spiritual life, but I don't really am so sure, because some of you are old souls. You are already many lifetimes on the path. So in relationship to some of you, I might be younger. but they have to take care of children, they have to work, they have to associate with many non-devotees in the process, and they are usually they are intelligent people. They don't believe in suppression. What is there? And I know they are. I know what they do. Hare Krishna. I won't talk about this here. It must be much more difficult for them to always fill the vacuum in the heart than for me. But at least I have the luxury to have just seva, 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 which is connected with Radha and Krishna, but they have to earn Lakshmi. They have to fight with their minds. They have to live in circumstances which are not so ideal, and they also don't always have an annual pilgrimage to Vrindavan. They are lucky if they can save the time to come to Jamashtami to celebrate and have the darshan of Radha Krishna in one of the many temples where they live. So they must much more suffer from the vacuum in the heart than you, Sachinandan Swami. And then I went to your life. I spent 1 week in thinking of all of you, and meditating and going with my mind into your lives, not in the areas where I should not go and look, but everyone has a private life also, but your spiritual life, in the life where we are related, and I sense a little, it's like downloading with your supercomputer some super program. You can download also the informations from the more subtle fields of information than the primitive internet. Hare Krishna. So then I thought, I must encourage them in their spiritual journey. I must somehow convince them that they started out in this journey in order to find Radha and Krishna and solve the vacuum problem in the heart. They have obstacles, and I must somehow address the obstacles and see. And this informed all my lectures. In the disciple meeting, I wanted to remind you, don't just, I gave an analogy, you wanted to fly and experience the freedom, the full freedom of Krishna consciousness, and I used the analogy of flying in an airplane above the clouds, and I said, don't end up just staying on the ground where you take care of everything else which comes before entering the airplane and then flying. That was my message. I gave a modern story which I composed, which I intend to write a book about, and this way try to motivate you. Then came Nityananda's appearance day, and it was very important for me to show that Nityananda's mercy is not conditional. He doesn't judge anyone to be qualified or not qualified. And I talked about this both in the morning and in the evening katha. And then came Vyasa Puja day. Yes, I wanted to say in the morning lecture what is most important in spiritual life. It's the sambandha, making a close or intimate relationship with Radha and Krishna. And that was there. Then in the afternoon or evening session, I just wanted to talk a little bit how I live my Krishna consciousness. I notice some of us have to go already, so I will be a little bit more brief and come to this class. Yes, I thought when you are connected to a spiritual master, you want to see his teachings. You want to hear his teachings, but even more important for you is his example. How does he live these teachings? And therefore, I wanted to talk about this. If you were too excited, too tired, too full, and too much occupied with digestion, please listen to the lectures again. I had put some long thought and gave my best in the lectures so that you can get the subtle points and listen between the words. The real things are always what is between the words. That is the intention, the spirit, the content, the issue. And any presenter, any lecturer just struggles to put some words of communication, but he wants to give much more than the words. Much more. Not words are often faulty, often limited, and very narrow. How can you bring a huge transcendental subject matter in the words which were conceived in the materialistic civilizations? It's very difficult. So good. Today, as my last message, I would like to read to you a very, very important purport of Srila Prabhupada. Once there were Gurijan Prabhu and his good wife Jagatarini. They were a little bit in a, how do you say, it was a difficult period in their spiritual life. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to help them by inspiring them anew. So Prabhupada had just translated this part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he called Bhurijan in because he wanted to read the verse and the purport for Bhurijan as helping Bhurijan Prabhu. Jagatarini was, Bhurijan Prabhu describes this in this book, My Glorious Master. There was some complex relationship with Prabhupada at that time. Jagatarini didn't dare to sit with Prabhupada. She sat behind a partition in the room, which was something like a Spanische Wand. How do you say this? You know this, what do you call it? Paravan. He was sitting and hearing. As Prabhupada gave an expert doses of Krishna consciousness to both Bhurijan Prabhu and Jagatarini, Prabhupada knew she was there listening. So here is the verse. And then comes an interesting purport, which I will stop and reading the purport and go into the spirit of what Srila Prabhupada says as much as I can. It's a well-known verse. Some of you will recognize it immediately and be able to chant it with me. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamine.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurava Vrinda
Brahmanda Pramite Kona Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Hatari.
According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. I was thinking about this first line when I looked at the little Prema Vinodini. She is wandering, according to her karma, throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some of them are going down into the lower planetary systems. Now, out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets the opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the kripa of bhakti or devotional service. So let us summarize. On their cosmic journey, a fortunate living entity gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master. This doesn't happen by chance, but it happens by divine intervention or the grace of Krishna, who makes this meeting possible. And in this meeting, a very important gift is received by the soul that is a seed of bhakti, which he has to cultivate so that it becomes a full-grown creeper with the fruit of love of Godhead. Yes? So this is the subject. I think you all know this analogy of Krishna consciousness, and I will not repeat it here. But if you are introduced to this text for the first time, it is the opening text of a very important philosophical subject. You find it in Madhya Lila, chapter 19, text 151. It's really a section of the work which is worth your full attention. So here the purpose. When we speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe or even the cluster of many millions of universes. In all the universes there are innumerable planets, and there are innumerable living entities upon those planets, in the air, on the land, and in the water. There are millions and trillions of living entities everywhere. And they are engaged by Maya in enjoying and suffering the results of their fruitive activity, their karma, life after life. This is the position of the materially conditioned living entity. So this is what Prabhupada does now, is he focuses on Sambandha. And remember, he has two disciples who are very dear to him, for whom he has cried a tear in London next to him. And he wants them to understand something. So he says, he picked this verse where it says, "This is where you are." millions and trillions of living entities, and you're one of them, are here in this universe, moving from planet to planet according to your karma. It's one evolutionary cycle in which you are. And Maya is there, engaging you according to your desires in either suffering or enjoying. So then, I can just imagine how Prabhupada looks to Bhurijan at this moment. Out of many of these living entities, one who's actually fortunate, Bhagyavan, comes in contact with the bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. I'm very, very fortunate. And another time, Prabhupada gave an analogy of this fortune. He said, he spoke of a tortoise in the Atlantic Ocean who once in a year can come to the surface of the ocean and take a gulp of fresh air. And then, by the law of nature, it has to sink again. So he said, we are like this tortoise. We come after a long time up in the ocean of birth and death. And this coming up means we have attained the human form of life. Now, he said, Prabhupada said, imagine if at the time of coming to the human form of life, you are fortunate to meet a saintly person and establish a relationship to him. This is so rare that it compares only to the tortoise coming up and then sticking its head out of the ocean just at that moment which happens once every year. There is a plank of wood, a wooden plank I need your help. What is it called? A hole. Yeah, hole, but it's a hole where the branch grows. Astloch in Deutsch.
Not,
but it's where the branch sticks into the. So imagine there's a vast, vast ocean, and there is somehow, we don't know how it came, a plank of wood with this hole, this knot hole or whatever it's called, Astloch. And when the two come together, the rising of the turtle or the coming up of the turtle, and the plank, he doesn't go bang against the wood, but he goes like then he has the ability to hold fast to the plank and it is saved in a way that it can, it doesn't have to go back. Now the tortoise has to go back. In this way the example is a little limited, but it would be good if we don't sink back in the lower forms of life and go down under again. So this, therefore it is said, if one is Bhagyavan, Van means one possesses Bhagya. Bhagya means good fortune. Then one comes into this rare situation where by the mercy of Krishna one meets someone who can help us. So he continues his purpose. Bhurijan Prabhu told me later, when Prabhupada read this, he knew what Prabhupada wanted to say. Please, please, please use your chance. Don't become engaged again by Maya. Please, please. So Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. And if one desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity by chance or fortune comes in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement and wishes to then associate with that movement, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, gives him the chance to meet the bona fide spiritual master. This is called Guru Krishna Prasada, the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy upon all living entities. And as soon as the living entity desires the Lord's mercy, the Lord immediately gives him the opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master. You know, because he's there looking, what does he want? What does he want? What does he want? Such a fortunate person is fortified. Fortified means he's strengthened and protected by both Krishna and the spiritual master. He is held from within by Krishna and from without by the spiritual master. Both, means Krishna and the spiritual master, are prepared to help the sincere living being become free from material bondage. Now, Prabhupada goes into a technique which is an exegetical technique, means it brings something out. He gives an example of someone to whom this happened. How one can become this fortunate can be seen in the life of Srila Narada Muni. In his previous life, he was born of a maidservant. Although he was not born into a prestigious position, just a maidservant, a cleaning lady. So although he was not born in a prestigious position, his mother was fortunately engaged in rendering service to some Vaishnavas. When these Vaishnavas were resting during the Chaturmasya period, the boy Narada took the opportunity to engage in their service. Taking compassion upon the, you know, Narada Muni brought them their food, for instance. He took their laundry and washed them, and maybe his mother washed them, but he returned the laundry. And he said sometimes, listening, what they were talking, like a boy likes to know. He was a very good-hearted boy. Shukadev Goswami describes him as very submissive, really. He was a little maybe like, I mean, Nandi is not really like Narada Muni, but a little bit like that. Very inquisitive, very submissive, good-hearted, pious, and so on. By serving, so then, taking compassion upon the boy, the Vaishnavas offered him the remnants of their food. They had just eaten and they had left some food over. The little boy was there in the corner. And they said, come, come, come. And they fed him. By serving these Vaishnavas and obeying their orders, the boy became the object of their sympathy. And by the Vaishnavas' unknown mercy, he gradually became a pure devotee. In the next life, he was Narada Muni, the most exalted of all Vaishnavas and the most important guru and acharya of all Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. There's one paragraph left. So now Prabhupada goes into the modern times. He says, following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, this Krishna consciousness movement is rendering service to humanity by giving everyone a chance to come in contact with Krishna. If one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. This point that Prabhupada considered his movement as serving people was very much illustrated in Uppsala. When Srila Prabhupada was attacked by an intellectual student after his lecture on the four orders of life, the student said, "Ha! You think you are a Brahmin, huh? Who can order all of us other sections of your hierarchical society model?" And then Prabhupada became actually angry on the student because he had misunderstood. It was not an anger of someone who is attacked and wants to justify himself. It was an anger like, "You fool, you don't understand what devotees try to do." He said, "I consider myself fifth class because I'm trying to serve everyone." It was like a statement. He considered himself a servant. "I came here to serve you in Sweden. I have something wonderful, God consciousness. Why can't you see that? What is wrong with you?" You know, like that. Not arrogant, but merciful. He was thinking, "I'm serving you. Can't you see this? You have such a perception. I'm not like your professors or whatever." No? So, if one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. We had this sentence already. Then, by the grace of Krishna, one's life becomes successful. Everyone has dormant Krishna bhakti, love for Krishna. And in the association of good devotees, that love is revealed. So by that time, Jagatarini broke down crying behind her paravan. Because there was a consideration to distance, make a distance. No. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, many of you know this verse also, "Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udai." Dormant bhakti or devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Simply by associating with devotees, hearing their good instructions, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, dormant love for Krishna is awakened. In this way, one acquires the seed of devotional service, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Do you understand, Purijan? Don't know if he said this, but that was his mission. Do you understand, everybody? I want to ask today. We are not the first time in a body. I strongly believe also that all of you were, because you have this spiritual inclination so strong in you, that you have become devotees of the Lord, that you were before in a human body. But from where you come, there's a lot of speculation. In the West, everyone likes to think, "I was a pharaoh in my last life," or "I was Cleopatra." And it's usually occupied by 1 million New Age contestants, these positions. Anyways, but we were something, someone. Who and what is that difficult to say? Sometimes, in special circumstances, from the bottom of your subconscious, a bubble may come to your consciousness and it may burst, and you see a scene which is so clear and which affects you so deeply that you think, "Ah, this is something I have seen somewhere before, in some life before." This does happen, and it has happened to a few of my disciples who told me and wanted to have clarification about these scenes. It has happened to me once, and I was really overwhelmed when I had a glimpse into what I personally think was my previous life. But for sure we don't know, because maybe the subconsciousness added a few spices and a few extras, so that's a cocktail of all kinds of impressions. So we don't know 100%. But what we know is that we are not the first time here. And we may also know, and I think Prabhupada said this, he said this about those who came to Krishna consciousness. He said they were on and spiritual life before this. Krishna also says this. He says you can't come to spiritual life in one lifetime, but he has this verse, where he says only those who have acted piously is the translation, but spiritually in a previous, this life and a previous life, they can come to Krishna consciousness. At the moment I'm still suffer from this 3 hours of anesthesia, and I have forgotten a lot in this time. I'm not a good person for anesthetics. It's really critical for me. Part of my name memory and verse memory has gone. I hope it comes back. Otherwise, I learn everything from the beginning. No problem. Yes, but I know this verse is there because I've quoted it and thought about it a long time. Can someone help us in the Sanskrit? It starts with Y.
Yesham tvantagatam papam
jnananam punyakamanam te tvantva moha niyamukta bhajate mam dridhavata. Dridhavata means with a firm determination. Someone who has acted spiritually or piously in this life and the previous life, only that person can engage in bhakti with dritta vrata, with determination. And the fact that you are doing what you do shows great determination. The fact also that you feel that this is your path shows a deep insight in spirituality, because the path is very precise and very... let me say, you're precise. It's very distinct, I would say. So you have decided for this. So it means there is a lot of Sukriti in you. So I would like you to take note of this verse, that you please understand you have a unique opportunity. And the unique opportunity really lies in a gift which you have received when you met Srila Prabhupada and his followers and read the books and became introduced to this new world of Krishna consciousness. It's a gift which in the analogy of Mahaprabhu is a two-sided seed. A seed which you have to plant in your consciousness, and you have to plant it deep there, because otherwise the wind of change will blow it off and you lost your seed. You have to really implant it deep into your whole being, your whole personality. Also it needs to go deep so that all these things which will steal your bhakti, these crowds, doubts, materialistic association, can't pick at you the seed and take it out. So you have to plant it. The seed has two things. It's sambandha and abhideya. Sambandha means an understanding who you are in relationship to Krishna, and abhideya is the process which you can apply in order to move forward in your path and go back to Godhead. This seed will bring you to prayojana, the fulfillment and perfection of your life. That is the divine embrace, if we want to call it a little bhakti-like. No? The meeting the Lord and being embraced by Him. Oh, being embraced by the Lord. There are many verses talking about how the Lord embraces the soul who returns. You have seen that photo of the photo picture of the soul who returns, is embraced by the Lord. Well, it's a loving embrace. He waits for us. Like you may wait for your child and embrace him when he comes into the room, or the Lord is waiting for all of us, and then with great joy and even with tears in his own eyes, he embraces the soul. That is the perfection. But to regain that, the seed, the gift, cannot be ignored. It must be accepted and cultivated in the heart. The knowledge of who you are, who is Radha, who is Krishna, who, where you stand in the world, and then the process, the process of Shravan, Kirtan, Smaram, the nine processes of devotional service, starting of course with Shravan and Kirtan. So, yeah, this is our gift, and I can only, but I want to encourage you in my last message today, to take maybe more note of this gift. I've spoken to some devotees who came and visited me yesterday, and they said, we don't know what is the magic of this festival, but we are always feeling so blissful. And one devotee told me he has to go for I think 6 more months to complete his education. This education is a borderline education. You know, in his education, sometimes he is becoming a farmer, a farmer's knowledge, and sometimes he, of course, edges to the meat industry, because nowadays farming, especially they call it cattle raising, you know, taking care of cows, is not longer taking care of cows in a protective way, but just in a business way to sell their meat. And the devotee sometimes has come very close. He has somehow, by Krishna's mercy, never stepped over the border where he became an instrument to a cow's death or to a pig's death. But it was very close, and he sometimes had almost nervous breakdowns. He's a very psychologically stable individual, but when you all of a sudden are coming and seeing the, coming close to the slaughterhouse, it's overwhelmingly distressful. And so the devotee said he was almost at his was very exhausted from this, and then he said to me, this festival, I feel so surcharged. No problem. I will run out of this hellish education with my diploma, and then we'll be able to do something for the benefit of the cow society and the pig society and the human society. I mean, you know what farmers do. Yes. So, what was the magic of this festival? I always feel it is Lord Nityananda's mercy which comes to us, this unconditioned mercy which comes down from the altar. And because we are all in a mood to receive, that's why we are here, and we are all in the mood to reaffirm and confirm our own commitments in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we are more open than at other times, and we are more accepting. Someone who knows to accept, he will receive a lot. You have to learn to know how to accept. Then you can receive a lot. So, yeah, I wish you that you take care of your seat in a very nice way. In Krishna consciousness, when you are really accessing Krishna consciousness, what it means in practical terms, and with practical terms, I mean the life, what it means for our life. The moment you access higher levels of Krishna consciousness, 1 million doors of opportunity open, which were closed before to you. The moment you come to a higher level of surrender, of thinking of Krishna, engaging in service, you will see boom, 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 doors are opening where you thought, wow, is it true? We just saw this in Berlin. There's one of your god sisters, Mangala, very nice devotee, who has gone onto a marathon run. This means academic. She wanted to make her doctor with the three guna model, to bring that into psychology. And her opening sentence of her doctoral thesis is that according to the Vedic worldview, we are all atmas in the soul, so we are all atmas in this world, who are covered to different and different degrees by influences. And the Triguna model helps us to avoid the lower influence, the influences which are harmful on our psychology, and they help us to increase that influence, sattva, so that the light of the soul can shine through. Imagine German university. It's a guarded bastion of academic ignorance. Very hard to enter this. And they have a club. They really don't want anything to enter. And she was asked by one of her prüfers, testing person, don't you want to introduce a spiritual concept for another tradition? In this world, said Mangala, in this time, we become a global village which embraces from all cultures what is useful for human beings. And the Triguna model is one of these models. And yes, and she got the best note in the year. Yes. One. That sound is, if you want to know what, when cultured people make this sound, I can tell you in private. And you will blush, but it's not for public lectures. So, yes, this opportunity was granted to one individual who wanted to find her way in Krishna consciousness, and she herself, tried her best. But that it was so well received, and all the people in the university were very happy to give her a PhD, was for her a door of opportunity which opened by Krishna's mercy. She thinks that's a miracle that is not usually done. And there are millions of such miracles. I just wanted to give an example which is fresh on my mind. On the Berlin devotee's mind, because we all celebrated this with happiness. Door of opportunities open when you just connect with a higher level of Krishna consciousness. Or as Prabhupada used to say, impossible is a word which is no longer relevant for you. He said it like this, it's a word in a fool's dictionary. So I sincerely encourage you, as you now leave the festival and go back to the situations in your life where you stay, to take this gift with you, which Prabhupada speaks about in this and in the following verses. He speaks much more, and this is only the opening verse. The gift of Sambandha and Avideya, that means your relationship with Krishna and your spiritual practice. Please try to to take a good habit from this with you, yes. And I hope to see you and the other devotees and again and again for such festivals, but also other festivals. You may consider to come at Yamashtami here. It will be a very nice festival. You please consider to come. Also, Gaurahari and myself have an invitation to you. I do not know if Gaurahari is here or if he hears me through some loudspeaker. He may do some other service, then I will just say it. We have an invitation. You can actually come to Goloka Dham on a part-time basis, either to give birth to a child. I mean, that is something that just happened. Or to render seva. I know that Mandaleshwari has often come in the past and offered her service for a few weeks, maybe up to a month, to Radha Madanmohan. That is possible. It is well possible. You will be... please consider to come here for some time, few weeks, few months, one life. Oh, so short. Hare Krishna, we are waiting for you. Come and render some seva. And I believe Gaurahari will speak more about it in the project. I'm just not thinking, Gaurahari. May I know, are you, who's in a hurry here? Please honestly say, I just want to see. In a hurry to leave your train or your airplane? One person. So should we maybe have some two questions and answers, Gaurahari? Because you're the devotees who are very much in a hurry, they had to leave already. Yes, so this is what I wanted to say. And I wanted to now see if you have any questions which you would like to address in this forum. Please, I see three devotees. Prasidhanitai. Wow, this name is just... And there was, don't tell your name, Bhakti Gamya. We all have to train the name now. And Himanshu is there, and maybe more will join. Yes, President.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna. My question is related to how you were telling this verse where Krishna said, after many births, someone acts piously, he can take to devotional service. And Prabhupada said, one who is very fortunate. And we often see that people come in the association of devotees, but they cannot accept it. They are searching for spiritual life. They just cannot accept what is offered by Prabhupada. Is it that they need to then do more so-called material pious activities to get the Sukriti, the credits, or why is it that they cannot accept? How can we help them to accept?
There are two helpers in spiritual life. One is Lord Krishna, is your devotee. But there's also Maya, who gives you hell. That's you in some need a little bit. I noticed this in my case. After surgery, I'm so devotional. You can't believe I'm praying the whole day and I'm Krishna, 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 because I feel the pangs of material existence so strong. And then I become disappointed with myself. But if this is happening to a devotee I'm trying to perform devotee service, how much more it is happening to some of the conditioned souls? How they are beaten by mind. There was once a god brother of mine who would occasionally come into the temples take to devotional clothing and engage in devotional service. But then, I think he had an addiction to drugs. He would leave the temple and go again out. So, this happened many times. He joined, he tried, he left. After once, Prabhupada became aware of this, came to the devotee, and he had in his hand a saffron dhoti, renouncing material life, and he offered that dhoti to that devotee. And the devotee saw the gesture and understood the gesture. Prabhupada wants to give him a chance to once and for all take to the process of devotional service. So Prabhupada looked at him pleading means begging. The devotee looked and he saw the graveness of the situation. He understood that it was deep, but he shrunk back and he said, "Not now, Prabhupada, not now, I can't." And then he left the temple and Prabhupada cried. And there was a discussion afterwards, and he said, "This devotee will learn from Maya and then he will come." It happens from both sides. The mercy is here, but Maya's translation for is also one of the translations. Maya, it's the mercy. I wanted to say piercing mercy, spear mercy, sword mercy, fire mercy, which drives us. So sometimes I think we all know this. In our life, we have heard in the scriptures that this actually is part of Krishna's plan for the souls. It's the bitter mercy, where he with some intense situation comes up, which then teaches us. See, the dacoit. I mean, they almost lost their lives before they surrendered. Do you remember this kata? How they were falling and breaking their limbs, and Indra was really smiling, giving really the sauce, like it was like a apocalyptic storm, And then finally the leader of the dacoits came to his senses and began to offer in his mind prayer to Nityananda, and the Lord recognized him and gave him further opportunity to approach his lotus feet, and finally put his lotus feet on his head. Prasidha Nitai, the merciful Nitai, who is famous for this action of pulling a conditioned soul to him, is maybe your good name has something to do with this deal. Okay, Bhakti Gamya.
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj. Thank you for the wonderful presentation. My question is on bringing or cultivating this seed of bhakti, bringing it deeper into our hearts, as you mentioned. Because in another class you said that there are two levels of the heart, the Hridaya and the Chetha, and sometimes we think that we want to bring the lessons deeper into the Chetha. And I just wondered, how do you do that? How do you make sure it's in the deeper level,
Chetha, yeah.
Superficial level?
It's very good, Bhakti Gamya. You have understood what I want to say. People can bring Krishna consciousness in the outer layer of the heart. Or you can bring it into the deeper layer of the heart. The outer layer of the heart, I want to explain it in two ways. It's just a general acceptance, which happens when you hear it makes sense and you accept it. in a general way, the deeper layers of the heart can be only accessed by two ways, by deep reflection and by applying what you have heard. Then it becomes subconscious knowledge, so to say. It becomes part of you. It's like we would call it instinctive or intuitive knowledge. It's no longer something which you have to think about. It just comes out because it's so much internalized. I want to speak today also about this from a different perspective. I mean, in giving the answer, there are two types of conscience. Conscience has Gewissen. One is the outer conscience, I could call it, the other the inner conscience. Many of us, I have seen, have a very well-functioning conscience, outer conscience. That means they are aware. If I say certain things, if I do certain things, then the public will react in one way. I always see this, for instance, one thing which comes to mind is the men will, or devotees will act and dress in a certain way when they are outside the association of devotees, but then they know if I act and dress in the same way in the association, people will not appreciate me. And then they dress once a year in a dhoti. Or they shave up their head before they come to the devotees festival to show I'm really super, super strict. That's an outer conscience. You know what happens outside. More important is the inner conscience. That you know when you do something in your private life which is not right, then you know any sensitive person has that. He knows he breaks something inside. For instance, if he breaks principles, or if he does things, all these hidden things. What happens is the inner conscience will suffer. The outer conscience will not suffer because, you know, I'm hiding this. I'm doing this behind the closed doors of my apartment. The world will not know it. Guru Maharaj will not know it. If only you knew. And so on and so forth. And therefore I don't suffer. But you suffer very much because you all have a developed inner conscience. That is why it's so important to keep both your inner integrity, that is the integrity to yourself and Krishna alive, and your outer integrity, that is the integrity towards the society in which you consider your important society. It's very important for wholesome life. It's the inside has to be like the outside. Very important. I see some of you where this is not the case, and then I'm a little bit disappointed because I do not like to be seen by others as a fool, as if I don't see it. I just don't. This is my ego. I want to be understood properly. And when someone thinks I don't see, and thinks I'm so foolish, then I suffer a little bit. I feel why are they so like this? It's very important, this inner integrity and outer integrity. So when we speak about bringing Krishna consciousness into a deeper level, I'm not speaking of, you know, doing Krishna consciousness in an external way so that others can see, oh, right on, we say in American slang. But we are really concerned of that, planting it deeper. And that happens when you reflect about it. Why do they say like this? I invite you to quarrel with the Shastras, to quarrel with Prabhupada in a respectful way. So, quarrel is maybe not the right word. Who likes to quarrel with someone he loves? But to dialogue is the word. Dialogue. Oh, why this? Why? And what is about this point, please? And so on. Reflect about this. You need to do this if you want to bring it deeper. And then, reflect, then the main things, Bhakti Gamya, the main understanding comes when you do something. So that is called realization. You realize. Hare Krishna. Trying to answer, but it's a very interesting point. It's easy to plant Krishna consciousness, plant the seed in the external way. It's so easy. You just have to go to the friseurski, what is he called? In friseur, barber, Loy Bazaar, what is the dhoti price? Himanshu, nowadays dhoti price. No, I'm not asking in a funny way, but
550
rupees. How much euros is that?
7 euros.
7 euros, then everything is okay on the outside level. Altogether 10 euros, not more. But you have to pay the price of eagerness, in coins of eagerness, to bring it to the deeper levels of your personality. You have to reflect, think about it. Maybe sometimes think out of the box even. Why? Because you may be living outside of the box. You may be a very distinct individual. Have to work very hard on this. And then reflect on it and apply it. And then it's deep. And then the crows of doubts can't take the seed out. They feast on the seeds, but they can only reach it when it's in the outer layer of your conscience or consciousness. Here, the word consciousness needs to be used. And the storm of change, everything changes, but if it's deep in you, if you have reflected about it, if you apply it, then even the storm of change cannot blow out the seed. Hare Krishna. Good. There was the last question is Himanshu.
Hi Krishna, good morning. This question I'm about to ask is something I've sort of been having in my heart for a long time, and its various pieces really came together for me during this festival. So please forgive me if I'm giving too much context, but I'll make it quick because I don't want to waste anyone's time. When you were speaking yesterday evening, the statement that kept coming in my heart was the one that Srila Prabhupada offers in the Nectar of Devotion. When he talks about developing a relationship with Krishna, he says, these tears are the price for the highest perfection. And I really felt like you were giving us a window into your heart, how from a very young age to even today, you are sometimes externally, sometimes internally, always crying for that highest perfection, which means a relationship with Krishna. Something I really struggled with to understand in our movement is how to find that connecting point. And now I'm really looking not for some philosophical answer, but really what can I do in my life, the connecting point between our outer life and our inner life. Because when you look at our tradition in terms of how do we get that highest perfection, it always seems to come from hearing and chanting. Mm-hmm. Like in the second canto, I think Govardhan prays, how about hearing about Krishna, he takes a seat in the lotus of your heart, and things like that. So when we're engaged in so many activities for preaching and giving Krishna consciousness to others, what can I as an individual do so that my as you were saying, you know, we don't just get caught up with building airports or actually flying our own plane. How does that lotus of our relationship with Krishna unfurl? You know, what can I do as an individual while I'm engaging in all these other activities along with the knowledge from our tradition?
It's an archetypical question which I understand very well. Just want to say those of us of you who have to leave, goodbye, have a safe journey. Hare Krishna. See you again and again. Hare Krishna. Oh, Bhuta Bhavana, yes, that's... that's the time to leave now. You don't look very heavy in leaving. Hare Krishna. What? A little letter? Thank you. Thank you very much. Safe journeys, Bhuta Bhavana. I think you, some of you don't know, this is Bhuta Bhavana, a jewel, a true jewel, and knows many things. He knows everything. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Yes. I know, you want to know that one thing, and you want it specifically, not just a generalistic answer, which you can hear in other lectures. What should you, a monk, should do so that the lotus of your love of Godhead unfurls? Right? Hey, Mangshu. Hey, Mangshu, hey, Mangshu, hey, Mangshu. Hey, Mangshuji. I have one part of the answer, but I don't have the second part yet, because I had not the opportunity to study you nicely. And the one part of the answer I will tell you privately, because it's not an answer for the public. I also must say, I don't want to give the wrong impression. I sometimes don't know, you know. I'm not a liberated soul, but some things, sometimes you just get the inspiration and you feel. So when a disciple or like you, a sincere disciple, asks me, I will be very honest and say, yeah, this is the general process, and usually if you do it, you will find the answer. That is my experience. Sevaka, you know, that is like a key, and you find the answer. Krishna responds to you. But you want to hear from me something very specific, and I can say I only know part of the answer. And you will smile, but you will be happy that I have not told it in public, because it's a little personal. So afterwards I can tell you whatever I've done. But please, sometimes we say, oh, this is general, this is our philosophy, what should I, the most special individual in the universe, and I know it, I have ample proof, you know, I have seen this, do. It's really these, there's something we have to understand with the whole, let us say, Indian spirituality and the whole approach. I became aware of this when I asked my doctor, Dr. Raju, who's very, very expert, for a very individual cure. And he says, Ayurveda is not individual. It's general. Am I in the right train, I say? All I know is that I'm an individual. Yes, you're a foolish Westerner. Don't you believe in the individuality of a soul? Yes, I believe. But this is something which brings you to a certain level of health which I can offer to you. And there are only three things for your health. Kapha, Vata, Pitta. We have to balance them. And this is the program of balance. Do it and you will be balanced. Then I said, oh, and that costs so much money. but then I do it and it works. We come from a different thinking background than this. And here it is a universal process of Krishna consciousness. That's how we call it, you know, it works. But of course we do have a guru, we accept a guru so that he helps us how to administer the formulas to our specific case.
Therefore, I'm not saying your question is irrelevant. We know Prabhupada had asked this question to his own spiritual master. What should I do in your seva? Well, it was a little different in your seva, but an individual answer was given. So we will talk personally. Good. I feel there is a little restlessness now, which is natural because we have to travel. I also feel some... the time is also there. Is it 5 minutes to 12, isn't it?
Yes.
So that is a good time to come to a happy ending. Mm-hmm. Best happy ending is Gaurari. So Gaurari, would you like this microphone? Or this? Let us patiently listen to Gaurari's.
Yes. Hare Krishna, I will not be too long, but just wanted to thank you all for coming, and it was very special for us that we could bring you here, that we could facilitate your spiritual nourishment during this festival. And before the festival started, one devotee was giving the lecture and he was saying, for this festival, don't try to get most of the mercy you can, but just help all our guests that they get the mercy. And this is actually the best way to get the mercy, but anyway, we don't do that for that. But the idea was that we should, the Goloka Dhammis, the devotees here, will be catalysts. To help actually all of you to come closer to Shishila Dhammadan Mohan and serve all of you. And later on during the festival, I had a discussion with another devotee, and just came very spontaneous. I told the devotee, we are connecting now the amount of blessings for the whole year. Just don't worry, don't hesitate, give yourself fully into the service. So please forgive all the shortcomings that were there on our side, and we are very happy that you all came and that we could do some service for all of you. Thank you so much for Maharaj, who, without whom such festival could never take place. And yeah, maybe the last things I could say is that we are a small number of devotees here in Golokada. We are trying to make a big revolution in the spiritual sense in the world, like sometimes Maharaj will say, let's take over the world. And I feel actually this sense of mission is actually very, very important. Maybe some of you were there for the opening of the festival, and I had some notes, some points, some holy points that Maharaj had given me for the lecture. And there was, maybe some of you remember, the first one was understand the mission of our parampara. The second, find your place, and then act, do service. So here we are, a small, wonderful community with very, very nice devotees, and we are trying to make it grow, trying to make it more condensed. And we would like anyone who comes to the community that they could say, oh, this is what I read in Prabhupada books. That we can actually represent Srila Prabhupada very nicely. And if any one of you like to support us in any way, you are most welcome. You can always come here and spend sometimes 1 week, 1 month, spend sometimes. It's actually, Goloka Dham is a place for absorption, a place for contemplation, a place where you can go actually very deep into your own relationship with Ramana Mohan and Krishna. And we sometimes need some pujari, and we are always happy to have devotees. We can increase the worship of Ramana Mohan. And obviously we are also very dependent financially. We have a group, we call that the Friends of Ramana Mohan, who give every month some little money to the temple that allow us to do all we are doing. And a big thank you to all of them who are in this Khandes Christ and support us. And yeah, that's all what I wanted to say. Thank you so much for coming. And no one should leave before lunch, because we have cooked for all of you, and if you go, if possible. So, thank you all for coming. Thank you, Maharaj, for nourishing us up to the neck with a very, very nice inspiration. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai.